The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we have very difficult and controversial gospel. Jesus declares the lifelong permanence of marriage. And he does it with language that perhaps makes us cringe. He said, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her." These words upset Jesus' hearers, and they upset people today. But before addressing this gospel today, this teaching of marriage, I would like to take a step back and put it in context. In these last few weeks, we have different gospels about different topics, but it looks now like each of these gospels prepared us for today's gospel. First, Jesus announces his own suffering, death, and resurrection. Then he tells us that each must take up his own cross and follow him. Peter, of course, tries to dissuade Jesus, and Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan." The other apostles also misunderstanding Jesus' words, or maybe we can say even better, they do not care about these words. They care more who is the most important, who is the greatest between them. And in this moment, Jesus takes a child, put in front of them, and tells them that they must become like little children. No little children is independent. He always belongs to someone else. Normally, his parents or someone who represents them. For that reason, we have a commandment: honor your father and your mother. For a young man, the most important person in his life should be his mother and his father. But everything totally changes when a young man marries. Marriage changes that. Jesus quotes from the book of Genesis, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Until marriage, father and mother, they take the first place in the life of a young man. After marriage, the wife takes the first place. Not all understand that. I know a guy who recently married a beautiful, young, skilled woman, and she prepared for him nice dinner when he came back from his work. He ate it and next said, "It's okay, it was good, but my mother usually did it in a different way." That guy hasn't left his mother yet. Now, we always must honor our mother and father. But when a man marries a woman, he no longer belongs to his parents. He belongs to his wife, and his wife belongs to him. The two become one flesh. The two can become one flesh, Christ is him, because God made them male and female. Saying Pope John Paul II observed that our bodies have a language. The very shape of our bodies as men and women speaks of self-giving and receptivity. Becoming one flesh is so real that it can result in creation of a new human being. In marriage, the man and woman belong completely to each other. And I'm sure that you know this better than I. It is not always easy. Or to say it in different way, it is often very difficult. I don't remember if I told you this story about a woman who said to the priest, "Father, I want to be a humble wife, but it is so hard because he is always wrong and I am always right." The priest said, "I know, but try to be a humble wife anyway." And it is not easy for a husband to practice the humility of Christ. We need to remember that Jesus Christ gave his life for his bride, the church. He did so to the last drop of his blood. So must the husband give his life to protect, defend, and care for his wife and his family. Many people are saying today that marriage is finished, is done. Young people prefer to simply live together, and when they do marry, those marriages seem so fragile. And along with all that, a growing number try to redefine marriage so that it does not require being male and female, but any two adults who have a strong mutual attraction. We need to ask, should we just raise the white flag? Admit that we cannot do anything else, and maybe focus our energy on something else? That is tempting, but we need to look at Jesus' example. Marriage was in pretty bad shape in his time. As we heard, Moses allowed the man to simply write a bill of divorce and dismiss the wife. In the Roman Empire, marriage was in decline. But Jesus does not give into discouragement. He sees beyond immediate troubles and goes back to the very beginning. We are now in this spiritual war, and it's going on in the human heart, particularly hearts of young people, of young men. Sometimes we can ask, why do young men spend so many hours playing video games? And usually these video games are nothing else but attacking, killing, defending, trying. It is an instinct that God put in the hearts of this young man, because they are created to fight, to defend, to protect their wife, their children. Jesus said, God made them male and female. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is very difficult and challenging teaching. It requires courage and humility, but it's worth any sacrifice. The stakes could not be higher. The kingdom of God. In this week, we have a wonderful opportunity to pray for our marriages and for our families. Today, October 7th, in the liturgy of the Church, we celebrate Our Lady of Rosary. On this Thursday, we will celebrate Our Lady of La Leche, through the intercession of Mary, who had her own family. We need to pray for our families. And it is also a good opportunity to invite all of you for this Thursday especially to participate, to be part of this great celebration of Our Lady of La Leche. We are so fortunate having this shrine here on our grounds. It is definitely a good idea to be part also of this celebration. In your bulletins, you have the whole program, what is at each hour, what prayer we can make. You are invited. You are part of this parish. You are part of this shrine. You are part of this celebration.